Okay, next item on the agenda under new business, item C, numbered 17-360. It's 2018 renewal of professional services contract with state lobbyist Ray Matyashowski and Associates. And that contract is $42,000 a year. I'll entertain a motion to renew that professional services contract.
So move.
Second.
Motion been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Marol to renew this annual contract with Matyashowski and Associates. Discussion? Member Mucci.
Mr. Mayor, so as far as I could tell, thanks to staff's help, Ray works also represents SEPA, the City of Ketchikan, the Ketchikan Gateway Borough, the City of Saxman, and the City and Borough of Wrangell. So representing all of our neighbors, how do we know we're getting the best representation for our town?
Well, since I've worked with Ray, since we've hired him, and I think that was shortly after I got on the council, so it's, I would say it's been at least 8-9 years ago. I remember Melinda Hofstede was here, and he has done great work for us, Ray is. He's very, I don't know the quite the right word. I respect Ray. I think he does a great job. He works hard. He used to be in Tony Knoll's staff. I can't remember his position, but it had to do with dealing with his whole crew. So from the trickle down from that staff, I mean, Ray knows everybody in Juneau. I mean, if you need to get into the right person at the right time to help push legislation through, you know, Ray's the right guy, I think. And last year was a prime example when we were dealing with the land, the extra land we got in the legislation last year, Senate Bill 28 or whatever the number was. So anyway, that's my take. I think we get a good bang for our buck with Ray Matyashowski. Member Castro.
Yeah, I'm not at all for discontinuing our service with the lobbyist, but I am curious as to what is a typical lobbyist cost? I mean, speaking of bang for the buck, is there a normal rate or is there?
I couldn't answer that. I mean, I don't know how long we've been paying Ray. This is a little bit more than we originally contracted with us 10 years ago, but I don't know what it is, Steve.
We've raised it once in the 6 years I've been here, if that gives you some idea. And as far as what other lobbyists make, I think there are some that make a lot more, you know, and there are some that probably make less. I can tell you I don't have any experience here in Alaska with what some of those lobbyists make other than just kind of war stories from some of my peers that some of them are fairly pricey. But that's not based on an RFP process or anything like that. I mean, I too, if I may, trust Ray. He works his tail off for us. I mean, when money was free flowing, it was really easy, and it's really easy to say, "Oh, what a great job Ray does." Actually, the great job was like last year, where we were trying to get a lands bill passed, and there was a lot of resistance to it. And he really worked the room. He worked with our delegation there, and you know, basically did a really good job, in my opinion, of getting support together. And that doesn't always mean arm twisting. It was, you know, working with Jonathan's office, working with Bert Stedman's office to make sure their staff was up to speed, working with Liz, who went up there several times to work with them. I trust him. And, you know, back to a Senator Mucci's question about the, you know, representing different cities. He's always been very straightforward. If there's any kind of a potential conflict, he says it right away. He was up for potentially being the Juneau lobbyist, and, you know, several of us thought that would be a bit of a problem because not always is Juneau lined up with us. And, you know, that became, he made that very clear. Okay, fine, then I will, you know, not be a part of that. So, again, I trust him.
And to answer Member Castro's question, how much lobbyists make, you can go to Alaska Political Offices Commission and look it up, and they're all, some of them are pretty good jobs. Yeah. Quite a bit of money. Any other discussion? No. Clerk, call the roll.
Jay?
Yes.
Kurt?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brandy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, we voted unanimously to continue the service contract with Ray Matuszewski as our state lobbyist. Next item under new business is D, federal legislative projects and priorities. And we discussed this a little bit earlier in the meeting, but I'll entertain a motion to start. I don't think we'll get completed tonight, possibly. We might. We used to have special work sessions to do these when there was money flowing and it took time to, you know, everybody was in there knowing they could get their hand in a cookie jar. But anyway, I'll entertain a motion to draft some sort of a federal priorities list to take to Washington, D.C. and to send to our lobbyist.
I moved.
Second.
Motion's been made by Member Castro, seconded by Member Morrell. Any, we have a list here. I think, does anybody have any ideas?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I'll throw my 2 cents worth in here, seeing how these things here will directly affect the taxpayers, and that is the SRS and PILT. I think those two are really critical. And then something that's close to my heart is that Section 107 Army Corps. But anyway, I would think that SRS and PILT should be probably 1 and 2. And then number 3 should be Section 107 Army Corps.
Member Stanton Greger?
I mean, before you, Mr. Mayor, go back to D.C., I think we could hone, you know, your talking points and it'd be a further discussion. But in terms of a generalized thing, I think this list in and of itself is sufficient. One thing I would add to the Coast Guard one, though, is the cutters. They can deal with transboundary rivers, which could, you know, could help for intersecting drug traffic, et cetera. More of a, I think, a selling point for our community, the inner boundary rivers part for the Coast Guard and the cutters. I think it's a relevant angle to take when pushing that.
Okay. Yeah, and I would hope we would have more discussions after we get an idea from the lobbyist, you know, what topics are the key ones to talk about, not just send it as in a list. And, excuse me, I've been looking through here. Maybe I'm missing it. I don't see transboundary rivers. Oh, yeah, here it is, British Columbia Transboundary Mining Issues. Okay, it's under a different title. So, Member Stanton Greger.
Yeah, just finishing that thought, I was also, you kind of took the words there, which is good, to speak with the lobbyist in terms of, I think it'd be worthwhile running some of this through him, seeing what would be, he sees his priority at this point, my 2 cents.
I remember in the conversation at the second meeting in November when he called in, he did touch on a few of the topics that are on the list and the ones that he didn't feel were, you know, and Steve talked to this earlier, you know, just send them the list. I mean, the ball's already rolling. People know that Essential Air Service is important and PILT and Squirrel Roll Schools, but you could still touch on those maybe. But I think the ones that we'd want to, if we weren't going to different departments back there, to talk to our delegation would be the Coast Guard still as a top issue and dredging of our harbors and the transboundary river, I think, is an important issue as well. And last time we were back there, Steve and I were talking, the manager and I were talking about this today. Maybe we could get in to talk to Secretary of Interior's underling. I'm sure we weren't going to see him. We were just lucky when we were waiting in Senator Sullivan's office last year to meet with him, and that was, well, it wasn't last year, 3 years ago. It was Secretary of Energy. Yeah, so we got to go in and talk to him. So that was interesting. We got to put a plug in for our Lake Tap being green energy and on and on. But you never know who you're going to get a chance to meet with. So we need to, you know, I think a discussion with the lobbyist, you know, now that we have decided to go back would be good. Anybody else on the assembly have ideas of how they should be prioritized, or if there's any they'd like to see removed for any reason? Member Castro?
Yeah, I just had a real quick question about this, you know, the home porting of the Coast Guard vessels. I read here in Brad Gilman's update here that they expect a decision on the FERC home port issue within the next month. Is the next month, is that before the end of January, or?
Where did you read that, Member Castro?
It's number 2, the second bullet. under status of federal priorities. To the very end of the little... Oh. It's on the 1214 Washington update PDF.
I'm slow. Is this on the list of priorities?
Yeah, it was just kind of an update I think he was giving us on the...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, you got it now.
In fact, it's an memo to you, Mark. Maybe, I don't know if it was an email or an actual letter.
No, it's not. It was just sent to the assembly and the manager and everybody. It ended up in the packet.
It does sound like, though, we have some representation. Sorry.
Yeah, they sounds like they are expecting a decision soon.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying earlier, even in my opinion on that Coast Guard ruling, even if, and we've had this discussion with, a few people in Juneau about options and, you know, maybe get buoy tenders here. Or, you know, something to replace the number of people we're going to lose. And I know Senator Sullivan feels that way. We need to keep right. The same number of, Coast Guard men and women in Petersburg. So thanks for bringing that up, though. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
One of the items on there, it's easy to overlook. But I think Brad, when we spoke, was pretty thinking needs to be one of the top three issues was the infrastructure question.
Okay.
There is discussion that the president will push forward next on some kind of national infrastructure program. Brad's point was it's really important to talk to the delegation about making sure there's a small city, rural component of that, that it's not just $200-300 million projects to, you know, replace the Golden Gate Bridge or something. I mean, it's, in other words, to continue to remind the delegation that infrastructure is not necessarily just big, massive projects. So my guess is Brad will come back and make that recommendation to the assembly that that's one of those things to make sure that our two senators and congressmen remember that when they go to vote on that, if in fact an infrastructure program gets put together.
Make it similar to the Tiger Grant program that's for rural under 50,000,
something
along those lines?
Puts a pot of money that is for smaller rural communities, which would help us potentially things like Scow Bay or other stuff. So, anyway,
looking at this, is it listed on here anywhere? Maybe you'd know without me looking through it all. Anything to do with the bypass road behind the airport? I don't see it.
No, it's not.
Maybe I could ask Mr. Hagerman a question on that. Carl, do you see that as an... I know that it's been in the discussion on priorities over the last decade. Do you still see that as a necessary or an important road to have brought up to grade so it can be open or brought up to standards?
Well, Mr. Mayor, you're right. That project has been on a list for quite a few years. I think it would definitely provide, you know, an alternate transportation corridor to Petersburg. You know, the focus has been on, you know, Hammersloo Bridge and being able to get by that pinch point if there was a natural disaster that caused an issue there. For that reason, it probably should still stay on there. There is private property on that bypass road that could be developed if the road was upgraded as well. So there are more advantages to just being a transportation corridor for Petersburg in the future.
Right, and I think in the discussions before, since the fire hall has moved up by the airport too, it was discussed how it would be a good route if that was open for the emergency vehicles to get to Scow Bay and out that direction. But
it'd be even better if we had a stoplight that we could go across the runway and get to it quicker. But
right.
That's probably not in the plan.
Right. Any other discussion on this? So this is Member Strand.
I think the Essential Air Service funding is important as well, especially since our ferry service is being cut so drastically. We don't want to lose whatever helps keep air travel available.
Should definitely be a part of the the list, if not the discussion. So, I guess we'll wait till we hear back from the lobbyist. Is that Steve? What's your recommendation? What do you think we should do?
Well, I was looking at his email that he put together, letter on the 14th, and that's a pretty big list. And it, this is kind of what I was talking about. This is kind of the position paper. So it's likely he would want to send a version of this to each, to the delegation. The question then comes down to is which of the top two or three items that, you know, are you actually going to talk about when you get there? We need some input from Brad to know, you know, I mean, I'll Member Strand is correct about essential air services, but I think his take on that was there's so many communities that are in favor of this and getting it, it's not really in the chopping block. So you don't want to waste your 2 minutes of fame talking about that one. That may change, but for the moment, I think that's the last thing he said. So it's we probably need to take this list, give it to Brad, and say, hey, that letter you sent the assembly on the, you know, what do you think are the top two or three items? And, you know, then we can bring it back to the assembly, hopefully by the next meeting, and say this is what the lobbyist is recommending. And that, that's a...
Maybe he could... we could email him the list prior to the first meeting in January, and I don't know if he'd be available, but he could maybe call in again. It's on the 2nd. It's a noon meeting.
Yeah, that's entirely possible.
Just a suggestion.
Yeah. Let him make his case for why, which ones.
I could see one. I could, well, I don't know if I should say it, but take the Pink Salmon Disaster Assistance off for 2016. But yeah, we could have that discussion. Maybe he could still be on the list, but... okay, so is everybody good with where we're at on this list formation? Okay. We'll move on to the next item, communications. We have a letter that came from Senator Sullivan's office. Staff sent this attached letter is regarding the Marine Mammals Protection Act. Senator Sullivan does intend to work on Marine Mammal Protection Act issues in 2018, but there is not yet a specific time slash plan. If there are ideas that you or others in the community have to affect the sea otter issue, I can set you up with our staff that will be willing, that will be working on that in D.C. If you or others in Petersburg end up going to D.C., an in-person conversation would be even better. Just let me know. Thanks for reaching out. And I've talked to a few... You know, since our last meeting, and did we mention the Marine Mammal Protection Act? I've had a few people get a hold of me or bump into me on the street and say, well, what's going on? Because it does affect the fisheries. And I don't know if we should reach out to the people in the fishing industry and the natives that are in our area just to let them know this is going on. But maybe we could ask for input. And this is just my thought on this from PIA. Local processors, Petersburg Vessel Owners, Southeast Alaska Fisheries Dive Association, USAG, which is United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters, which doesn't seem like they'd be affected by mammals, but most of them, not most of them, but a good number of them here in Petersburg have Dungeness permits and other shellfish permits. And there's locals that have still harvest otters around Petersburg. I've got a list of them I could give to the clerk, and possibly Cake Tribal and Gold Belt, since they're native corporations in our, with it, well, Cake's not in our borough, but Gold Belt is. Just to see if we could get some input on this Marine Mammal Protection Act revisit, you know, revisitation that Senator Sullivan's going to do. Any other discussion on this? This was my idea. That's why I chimed in, or I put this correspondence forward.
Nice.
Member Mucci.
So did Senator Sullivan say they're planning to rewrite the Marine Mammal Protection Act in 18?
He talked about it, yeah. He already has had hearings on it and plans on addressing it. And some, and in particular, part of it, he wants to talk about the otters and the discussion or the talk, and there are the regulations that what you have to do for the otters to make them sellable for the natives. So Anyway, and Member Castro, you wanted to bring this up under communications?
Yeah, please. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, and speaking entirely as a fellow community member, just wishing to inform my neighbors, the U.S. Forest Service is going to be increasing their National Forest visitor use maps. The increase price is going to go from $10 to $14 here on January 1st. Just last year, Petersburg Ranger District created a new visitor use map that is it's excellent. It's a plasticized, it's tear and water resistant, and it provides all of the typical geographic features, you know, roads, trails, land ownership, and such. It also kind of has a lot of points of interest. It's a very well produced map. As of January 1st, this map is going to increase from $10 to $14. And even at $14, it's still a deal compared to going to REI and picking up any National Geographic map. And of course, I'm not advertising this at all. It's just I feel that people ought to be aware of this new map because it's a really, really useful item, and I think everybody could be able to take advantage of it.
Thank you, Member Castro. Is this a map that's in such a scale that you could use to go hiking and or?
Yeah. It's it has two sides to it. It has Mitkoff Island, and then it has Kuprinoff and QU Island on it as well. And it's not the typical quarter quad, the one in 24,000. So maybe it's not great for setting off up to a muskeg to be able to get to bag your deer, but it's great as an overall kind of general landscape sort of a thing. And it's nice because it is so durable that it's money well spent.
Okay, thank you for bringing that to our attention. Is there anybody else with communications they'd like to bring forward? Seeing none, assembly discussion items is the next item on the agenda. Recognitions. Does anybody have any recognitions? Well, there's two over here.
I was just saying goodbye to James.
I'm just waving goodbye.
I'm just kidding. Member Castro.
Well, this isn't really a recommendation, but I'm sure folks in town have noted in the paper that there is a first responder contest ongoing, and it's Life Med Alaska. It says, to celebrate Life Med Alaska's expanding service to Petersburg, we're giving a $1,250 prize package to a Petersburg first responder. So I would like to let everybody know about that, seek it out in the paper, and try to vote for your favorite first responder.
Okay, great for bringing that to our attention. I'd like to, I didn't make it to the opioid discussion last Friday night, I believe it was, maybe it was Thursday night, to the Suns, but I'd like to I'd like to recognize Jonathan Christ Tompkins for bringing the people to town and having that forum in town. It was well attended, it sounded like. So, any other recognitions? Okay, moving on. Next item under item discussions is Skype option with federal and state elected officials and lobbyists. This has been brought forward by Member Mucci. So, Jeff?
Mr. Mayor, we've been talking about traveling back to Washington, D.C. and Juneau, and our congressional delegation travels through Southeast from time to time, and I was trying to sort out what our abilities are to Skype with those folks. I mean, do we have... I guess I'm asking Steve or Debbie, do we have the ability to Skype with those folks on a regular basis? Does it mean come in and have a work session in the afternoon or something and tell them what is going on in Petersburg? Or is that something that's just everybody else Skypes and FaceTimes and stuff? And we're getting all of our stuff together here with we Skyped during the candidate forum. Is that something that we can do?
I can answer it two different ways through the mayor. Yes. We have the technology. We can set it up. And there's really no limits other than people's time. We're not getting an overwhelmingly positive result back from our legislators in either place. So I'll speak to Jonathan, who is probably the most upbeat about it. Yeah, we could do that. But, you know, and that becomes the big issue, which is once we get into session, things are so crazy, it's really hard to do set meetings and not have to, like, so he was worried about having an assembly sitting here and a bunch of community members here, and then suddenly he's got a floor call and has to run off, and he says, and that stuff starts to happen so quickly that there's not a lot of time. So, but he said, yeah, I mean, certain issues, certain times, we could do Skype. I don't believe we've received a response back from our federal delegation at this point. I think they were going to ask and find out, you know, what their interest level was on that. Mayor, I don't know if you ever, I have not heard from Senator Stedman on that. Do you?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, I mean, so I think, you know, again, two parts of the questions. Yes, we can do it here. We have the technology. We've done that. The question is, will our delegation, are they able to do it? And we're not getting a overwhelmingly, yeah, we'd love to do it yet.
Member Mucci.
Well, I'm sure they don't really want to do it. But in a time when money is so tight, how come we just can't Skype with their key staff people on a monthly basis and tell them kind of where we're at on things? If we're going to put together a list of two or three pages of priorities for the community, how come we can't kick that to them early via a Skype session so that they know these things are kind of on our radar and we're kind of, you know, we're kind of wondering what's going on with funding for this, all the issues that we want? I mean, in a time when there's earmarks are gone, and you're talking about essential air service and PILT and the secure rural school funding stuff, I mean, we have to be pretty honest with ourselves that some of these monies are going to go away. And I think the more contact we can have with them, whether it's Skype or, you know, I'm not, you know, I already voted against going back to Washington, D.C., but, I mean, there's got to be other options than flying back and forth to Washington, D.C. on often.
Okay. I'll do the mayor. If the assembly as a body wants me to suggest, you know, once a month meeting with each of them, you know what I mean, is this is where it comes into, is the general question is, can everybody Skype? The answer is, yeah. I mean, you know, even the delegation will say, sure. Well, can we get together every week? Oh, they start to pull back. So it's not necessarily the technology use. It's more about the timing and what their worlds are like when they're in D.C. or Juneau. So, you know, I'm not trying to push back other than I guess maybe in some sense I am, which is I'd almost need to hear from the assembly, what are you thinking? I mean, do you want monthly meetings? Do you want me to ask about monthly meetings? Do you want me to ask about quarterly updates? We can ask, and we can push forward on that and see what they say. We'll have to get a little more specific on how we're approaching this. Right now we're saying, hey, can you guys Skype, and they're kind of saying, yeah, but tell me exactly what you want to Skype for. So I'm pushing it back to say, tell me what you, the assembly as a body, want to do there, and then we can go back to them and say, hey, we'd like to set up a once-a-month meeting with the assembly and, you know, whoever. Hope that makes some sense.
Member Walhooter, you had a comment?
That's probably a good idea, Jeff. Maybe we could start with just our lobbyists because, you know, they're probably a little more flexible. So if we have some very specific things that we want to talk to our representatives, you know, maybe we could just start with going through our lobbyists, you know, and then make sure that they reiterate that to our representatives. So maybe we could start on a small scale like that, and then we'll just see how it plays out. So I'd be in favor of something like that if we started with lobbyists.
Member Stanton Greger?
I mean, I have obviously no problem if one of our representatives or staffers wants to Skype with us about some issue or another. But that being said, that's what Ray and Brad are for. I think the idea of those day-to-day, monthly, weekly things, I don't see, in my mind, I don't see it as a priority in any way, shape, or form. I'd rather send Brad an email or Ray an email or call one of them and tell them what's important and have them do the legwork for it. My two cents on the matter.
Member Moral, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I I don't know. I find FaceTime and Skype to be kind of awkward myself, and I think that it'd be odd for a lot to put a lot of people up on a screen and just be staring at them. I think that there's just like member Stanton Greger said, you know, there we correspond with people, email, on conference calls, and we have lobbyists that we use, and I don't necessarily think that that's necessary at this time.
Member Strand.
I agree with Jay. I believe that that's what we pay our lobbyists for, at least for the first and second contact. We just renewed Ray's contract. We might as well give him something to do.
You know, I think what Member Mucci is bringing up isn't a bad idea in certain cases. I think it would be very beneficial if our lobbyist says, hey, there's this issue, and you know, we don't have money or time to travel back. If we could set up a Skype, whether it's with, you know, maybe the senator's staff, or I don't know if, what the odds are of being able to sit and Skype right with the senator, but, you know, surely maybe one of their immediate staff, we could convey our interest on certain topics. But I don't know about setting up, and I don't know if Member Mucci was suggesting setting up a scheduled call-in or a scheduled Skype session.
And we could do that with the lobbyist. I mean, if that's what the assembly, I mean, we could add Ray and Brad to the meeting at some point. I mean, in other words, it's really left up to your imagination from a standpoint of how often do you want to receive updates from these folks.
Member Mucci?
Yeah, you know, the question wasn't to bug the senators back in Washington D.C. with a Skype once a month. You know, I think it's important, like, we, you know, if the city or the borough wants to go back to Washington D.C., we're putting a face with the community. And this technology gives us a chance to do it from Petersburg so they can see the seven of us and see who we are and at least listen to us maybe on a quarterly basis. Now, definitely not the senators and the representative, but they're key staff people who are the real people who are doing the heavy lifting behind the scenes. Those are the people that I want to really reach out to and press our case to.
Mm-hmm. Member Castro.
Yeah, I totally agree, really, kind of with everybody. I feel that, you know, in the Skype sessions, there are benefit to them because there is some FaceTime, you know, but going over to Washington, D.C. and rubbing elbows and actually having, like, the direct face-to-face contact is very important. You said, Mr. Mayor, that it had been 3 years since you head to Washington, D.C.?
I believe it has been.
So in that case, you know, maybe if we weren't doing anything even quarterly or biannually, we could be able to, you know, once a year or just kind of on as an as-needed basis be able to utilize this technology. I think it's a tool in our tool belt.
Yeah, it's I've never, well, I guess we used it during the candidate forum or whatever, so I don't look good on screen.
Well, this room is set up for it. It's right. Kind of my point. I mean, technology-wise, we have mm-hmm. the ability
we
to
have
do
the
it.
Ability, so maybe it's something we should exercise in the future. Member Mucci?
So before we get lost on who I wanted to talk to and when I wanted to talk to, I just wanted to know if it was the technology that was available to staff in Washington, D.C., so that it's something that we could explore doing here. That was all I wanted to know. I wasn't concerned about when we were going to talk to them, but I just wanted to know if that was a technology that we could take advantage of.
We haven't got through the mayor. Yeah. My apologies. We have not gotten confirmation back yet that they're willing to do it. But I can tell you this much: when we're there, if in fact, you know, I'll look and I will ask staff member. We'll see what they say. Some of it might even be people like Sherry Klein, you know, who's not in D.C., but is in Southeast. You know, is there value in Skyping with her, for example? I mean, there may be even more close-to-home staff members that we could use that technology with. So we'll find out.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we've almost... Is everybody done? No more comments on the Skype issue? Okay. Next item under discussion is history of the senior sales tax exemption. And Member Mucci, you wanted to discuss this?
Yeah, you know, over the last couple of months, I've been kind of looking at, you know, the different exemptions that we have in town. And thanks to Jody and Debbie for getting me information. I was curious how we got to the senior citizens' pit sales tax exemption. And I was under the impression that it went to a vote of the public and it passed by a vote of the public. But it appears that on January 7th, 1980, the senior sales tax exemption was approved in its third reading by the city council and did not go to a vote of the public. But we have it now. So in January, that's just a little bit of tidbit to have out there. In January 2015, there were 465 active exemption cards. And as of December 18th, there's 550 active cards out there. Currently, there's about $2.9 million in 2017 that have been exempted from taxes based on groceries and hardware from Chelan Produce, Hammer Week on Grocery and Hardware, Trading Union, The Trees, including fuel and gas from Arrowhead Transfer, Petersburg Bottle Gas, Petro Marine, and Southeast Island Fuel. So based on that $2.9 million exemption, the city is missing out on $178,975 in sales tax that come to the city. And I just wanted to bring that up.
Okay.
Because it's going to be part of a discussion at some other later date.
Since this was approved by the council, I guess, in 1980, it has been on the ballot a few times, hasn't it? Remember Mutual found that out? Or?
I'm sure there have. I don't have any of that information.
Right, okay. But I just thought it had been put to the public before and it got...
I think there have been
issues on that. But thanks for the numbers. Yep. Are any other discussion on this? Member Strand?
As I recall, we didn't have to put it before the public vote. And it was described as kind of a reward for people who'd lived here and worked all their lives and been paying in. And this gave them a little bit of money back. And I think they've probably got it by now.
Okay, any other discussion? Member or Steve, you have
just,
a comment?
This is the danger of not having Jody here. I think the numbers that Jeff read, and I'd have to talk to Jody directly, I think they're low.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the number I'm familiar with is somewhere north of $330,000. One estimate up to $374,000 in lost revenue, but there's some assumptions built into that, so that may be the issue. So it's, and by the way, that probably doesn't include borough utilities, which are also exempted from sales tax, other than the harbor. So electric, water, sanitation, none of those are sales tax are not levied on those. So you add those into the mix, it's probably even a greater number.
Okay. Thank you. Member Strand?
I talked to Jody this afternoon, and she said that it also did not include the tax cap exemptions.
Oh, over 1,200?
And that it was over 300,000 without having taken the tax cap exemption out.
Yeah. Member Wallhooter?
I just wanted to add one more thing to that ordinance, and I've read that thing over probably 10 or 15 times, and it specifically says if you're age 65, this ordinance was to help alleviate financial hardship, which is something that's never been defined. So I think we'll probably have a chance January, February to maybe talk about what alleviating financial hardship means. Thanks for bringing that up, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. Member Merle.
I was just curious. Can we ask Jody to get an estimate of the total with utilities and all of that that's missing, just so we have a better idea of what kind of tax revenues we're missing out on?
Sure. I'm sure she could come up with the numbers. Member Castro?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, and just as a point of clarity, is that an annual figure, or is that since 1980?
Annual figure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay.
It's a scary number because it's growing every year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last comment on this. You know, if you read page, if you go into the different sections, you know, we always just read about the very first part, 65, and then alleviating financial hardship. There's actually fines attached to using that card illegally. In other words, buying something other than for yourself. It's a $100 fee. If somebody uses your card and you're not, you know, it's a $300 fine. I don't recall ever anybody getting fined or anything by you, and I have observed more than once what I would assume would be a grandmother buying two-month-old diapers for somebody that's standing behind them that looks close to a relative. And, you know, so where's the $100? You know what I mean? So I think there needs to be some – I don't want to get rid of it. I just think we need to look at it, you know, and maybe amend it. So anyway, again, thanks, Jeff, for bringing this up. And we'll talk about this in January, February.
Right, budget time.
Yeah, budget
time. And, you know – talking about ordinances that are on the books and that don't get enforced. You know, there's the leash law and there's the no wake law and there's, you know, blah, on and on and on. So pick your poison. So anyway, moving along, if we're done with that one, administrative fee for senior sales tax exemption participants. Member Mucci?
So, Mr. Mayor, this is kind of part of the same conversation. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we can't continue to hemorrhage $400,000 a year in missing tax revenue. We just can't. I mean, we'll be closing down the library or whatever, the gym, and not being able to fund the schools. I mean, there's got to be a way to adjust this senior citizen sales tax exemption so that it really does meet the needs of the people who need it in town. There's a way to identify people who need it in town. And, you know, our options are to draft some type of ballot initiative to try and repeal the senior citizen sales tax exemption. Or we can start assessing a fee for administrative costs for handing out the cards every year. I mean, I think we can come up with, or the city staff can come up with a pretty good idea of how much it costs to issue those cards. If it's $50 to maybe $100 for staff time, the printing time, checking to make sure people are eligible for it. And perhaps by coming up with an administrative fee, some people who maybe don't really need it won't think it's worth the $50 or $100 that they might save in kind of sales tax. I'm just trying to sort out a way to kind of make it palatable. I mean, if you look at the list of all the folks who are eligible and taking advantage of the, it's pretty impressive. There's like 11 pages of our friends and neighbors who maybe don't spend all their time in Petersburg. They might be spending 9 months here. They might be spending the rest of the time in Desert Palms or wherever the heck they go, but they're certainly eligible for it based on the criteria that's in there. And I think we need to kind of make people understand the pain that we're feeling up here. And if they don't really need to save 12 cents on an item they're getting at the grocery store, I mean, it's making a good program. It's making it tough for the people who really need it. And I know there's some figures out there of 80 to 90 people in town who really need it, but for a third of the community that is eligible for this exemption, things have got to change. I mean, there's got to be a way to make it so that we're a little bit more responsible for stuff, and I'm hoping that that discussion can happen over the next month and a half before we all leave town to go fishing.
Any other discussion on the administrative fee? Okay. That brings us to questionnaire circulated to the public by Assemblymember Mucci. I brought this up. It was brought to my attention that Member Mucci was, you know, had a questionnaire. He was asking questions, referring to budget items and stuff from people around the community. And I just was, I haven't, you know, got one. And not, I was just wondering what Member Mucci was going to do with the information. He just used it just. Curious, out of curiosity. So is it something you're just going to, are you going to, if you come up with any answers, like, are you getting consensus, or did you gonna, if you come up with a direction with this questionnaire, are you gonna share with the assembly, or is this?
No, not necessarily so, Mr. Mayor.
Pardon me,
Mr. Mayor. Not necessarily so.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
When I was appointed to the assembly back in whenever July or something, I kind of sat in the seat and I was just listening to what was going on at the assembly level, and you know, we were just pushing business along, and I thought to myself, well, you know, it's hard for me to understand what Assemblymember Eric Castro is interested in. I mean, I just don't know what you're all interested in. And so I took it upon myself to, I put together like a 5-page list of questions that I had about the community. Because one of the first questions we had was, we were going to approve the city manager's evaluation. And I don't really pay much attention to what Steve does. So I just kind of went through all the departments and asked myself a bunch of questions about what was important to me. Then I started talking to people. And I found that people really like it when you come and sit down and hear what they have to say. That's not me talking to them. It's just me listening to them. I've talked to the Rotary. I've talked to several businesses downtown. Some people have invited me to their businesses before the working hours started, and I sat down with all their employees, and I wanted to hear what was important to people, because I know what's important to my friends. I know what's important to me, and I know what's important to the guys at the Harbor Shack and stuff, but, you know, I'm talking to young women who are working, and daycare is a big one. You know, some people have asked about having the libraries open on Sunday afternoon because people who work 5 days a week can't get there on a regular basis. Some people have asked about having the Baylor facility open on Saturday afternoon so some of us who are working 5 days a week can get there instead of just on a Sunday afternoon after church or whatever. They can get there on Saturday as well. But, you know, there's some real harebrained ideas out there, you know, and that's just part of the process. Mm-hmm. But every so often, everybody has like a nugget that's really, really interesting that I run with for a while. And I hope nobody's threatened by me asking questions of the community, because I'm going to continue to do it as long as people will listen to me. And I really, you know, obviously I like to talk. I'm the guy who's putting all the stuff on the agenda. But, you know what, it's just interesting to hear what people have to say. I mean, a lot of people feel real intimidated coming up here and saying mm-hmm. what they want to in front of the microphone. So I'm doing my best to just kind of reach out to the community and whoever else has an interesting viewpoint to kind of let me know what they're thinking. But that's the only thing I got going on.
Member Waller.
Hey, Jeff, I think I would find this informative if you could maybe, you know, I mean, I like talking to people too, as you well know. You know, it'd be informative to find out, you know, what you feel that the community's thinking about certain things. You know, if you could, yeah, would you like to maybe put together some cliff notes on some questions, you know, that you think's important, or that what people think's important to this community? Because I'd certainly like to hear them, you know, without having to go to talk to everybody myself.
Member Mickey?
You know, when I'm sitting down with folks, you know, one of the first things I tell them, I said, this is just between you and me. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear what you're thinking. I've told them that I'm not going to divulge their thoughts, you know, to the public. Usually what I do is I get their comments, I go through them, I write down some notes that are important to me, and then I shred the document. But I'm eventually going to bring up some things that I hear from the community. And like I said, every so often you get some harebrained ideas, but every so often somebody brings up something that's really cool that we haven't talked to before, like the marine passenger fee. That's not my idea. Somebody brought that up to me at some kind of discussion we were having and wanted to know why we weren't doing it. And I said, oh, that's a really good question. Mm-hmm. And we're kicking that can down the road. So, nope, I'm just talking to folks.
Member Castro?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just touching on what you were saying there, Ramucci, was, you know, about like the feeling of discomfort having to get up and sit in front of the assembly with a microphone in your face. I remember John Mergus ended up saying something along the lines about, you know, maybe having a suggestion box of some sort. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if maybe there was something like that in the mix.
Steve?
Through the mayor. In a sense, my three meetings that we're going to be having coming up here in January about, you know, ways to save money or raise revenues is a version of a suggestion box. Maybe I'm risk averse. I I'm not overly fond of anonymous feedback, simply because it can get way out of hand in a hurry. Maybe, you know, shame on me. But I'd like to go through these three meetings with the public and see what kind of input we get, what kind of feedback we get. And, you know, maybe that'll prompt us to find new ways for people to give us input. And like you said, maybe a suggestion box. You know, I like being able to go back, circle back to people, too, with their ideas and say, you know, you gave this idea. This is why we can do it, or this is why we can't. And that's where suggestion boxes kind of run into a problem, because often you get ideas with no name. You have no way to circle back. So, you know, give me another couple of months, and maybe we'll go a different direction. How's that?
Yeah. I wasn't suggesting that we have an anonymous box. And of course, the most productive comments are ones where somebody actually has some substance behind it and, you know, can answer some follow-up questions about their question. But, you know, it would be nice to be able to have some sort of a gentler way to be able to ask questions about the assembly without having to, you know, beat the streets, such as Member Mucci has.
Okay. Any other discussion? Member Strand.
I understand also why Jeff didn't send it to us, because it's a real fine line between answering a questionnaire and being polled.
Member Mucci.
Mr. Mayor, you know, eventually I'm going to understand what you want to do and how you're going to, you know, we'll figure that out. But for the people who sometimes might not feel like they have a voice, I'm just going to continue to reach out to folks and just chat with them, see what they're thinking. That's all.
Okay. There's no other discussion. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.